Welcome back to Colorectal Cancer Update, and we continue with the interview with Dr. Lawrence Wagman.
Another thing that happened in breast cancer, and I'm not trying to say that breast and colon cancer are identical, but there was the realization that patients were interested in considering therapy with side effects for relatively modest benefits. And the classic statement of a lot of patients with breast cancer being willing to take chemotherapy for a 1% improvement in 5-year survival generated that viewpoint. And actually, our CME group just reported a poster for the ASCO GI meeting. We did a survey of 150 people with colorectal cancer survivors. I'm going to ask you to predict what we saw. We had them listen to a 45-minute interview I did with John Marshall from Georgetown, a medical oncologist, where he described in detail the risks and benefits of adjuvant chemotherapy in stage 2 and stage 3 disease. And we actually asked the patients to stop the CD every 10 minutes and evaluate whether they understood what he was saying. He went through all the numbers. I mean, even more numbers than I think an oncologist might even go into in general. And at the end, we said to these people, if you had a loved one in their 60s in good health who had stage 2 disease, and then we also asked them about stage 3 disease, based on what you've heard, do you think they should receive chemotherapy? So it's kind of similar to these old breast cancer trials. And we weren't able to find that anybody had asked colon cancer patients this. So out of the 150 people, how many do you think would recommend chemotherapy for stage 2 disease?
These are all living survivors,
right,
who had colorectal cancer and got chemotherapy.
They didn't all get chemotherapy, but quite a few had gotten chemotherapy.
Well, I would say
And that's clearly biased, no doubt about it.
No, I wouldn't. It's not necessarily biased because you could look back at this. But I would say that of the patients who had already gotten chemotherapy and were still alive, that at least 95% of them said they would recommend it. There'll be a small group that had bad outcome. And in the other group, I'm not sure, but I would say at least 50%. So overall, that's about 75 or 80%.
Okay. And I'll tell you what I showed in a second, but one more question. We actually didn't think to do this when we wrote the poster and somebody at the meeting asked this, and we subsequently did another run on the data, which was somebody said to us, did you look at men versus women? Because maybe women are more proactive, et cetera. And it turned out that about half the people in the study were men and half were women. So do you think there was a gender difference?
I wouldn't think there'd be a gender difference.
I've asked other people, and they've said, well, maybe women are more proactive about wanting to avoid recurrence, the breast cancer patient. But you're right. There was no difference. And in terms of the other issue, 149 out of the 150 patients would want their loved one to receive chemotherapy for stage 2 disease. Most of that was a full FOX. And same thing with stage 3, but a higher fraction of full FOX in those patients. So a very similar kind of attitude to what we've seen in breast cancer, which is much more orientation about avoiding recurrence and concern about toxicity. Does that sort of jive with what you've seen with patients?
It does. It absolutely does. The people who come in and they hear that there's a potential benefit, it will improve recurrence-free survival and maybe improve your survival overall. They make their decisions quickly. I think 90% of them pick to have the therapy.
And that is behind what I was saying before about maybe surgeons ought to find an oncologist that they trust and just send these people over there and let them hear the story.
I'm in complete agreement to that. Sometimes you may find somebody who you feel all your patients are coming back sick and telling you how bad they felt, and that's probably more the style of practice. It may be a moment in time to sit with the medical oncologist and just tell them that. Tell them your personal concerns about how the patients are feeling, and assuming they're not doing exactly what's standard or pushing a little too hard. But I think that there should be an interaction between a surgeon who does a significant amount of colon and rectal cancer, breast cancer, and the medical oncologist to whom they refer.
It's funny because I sometimes think about the gap between breast cancer and colon cancer and how it's closing and maybe even flipping the other way. Norm Wallmark has talked about the fact that now at the ASCO meeting, more people are going to the colon sessions than the breast sessions because so much has happened in colon cancer. And another example of colon cancer following the breast cancer model is the NSABP has taken a leadership role looking at genomic testing mm-hmm. of tumors to try to predict which people actually need adjuvant therapy. And of course, this has changed the way decisions are made in breast cancer just in the last couple of years. And I know they've got a similar project cooking in colon cancer. So I think those data are going to be coming out pretty soon. It'll be interesting whether or not that same genomic testing approach will allow us to pick out the patients who maybe don't need adjuvant chemotherapy.
I think you can usually pick out high and low risk groups. It's also important, though, to have a prospective analysis of picking those groups and then applying the therapies. We have to test the results of a perceived higher, low, and middle risk group in a prospective trial by treating along those ways.